I love a good novelty idea. Bethesda is selling Sticks of Memory from since decommissioned Elder Scrolls Online servers as an anniversary keepsake. eBay's logistics are insane, and one might argue that there is a secondhand market for these sticks, but there's no way that the 2,000 sticks being sold are a majority of the total inventory of the infrastructure. Even if these sticks are defective, they still serve a visual and memorable purpose. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you about the gaming elephant in the room and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live once again tonight, April the 20th of 2025, you know, 420, with episode number 1043 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you every week along with my co-hosts. Say hello first off to the one and only Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Hi.
Well, a lot of people are today. It's 420, you know.
Yeah, but the big holiday was really yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Your birthday. See, I could see where people might think it was a week ago because you did that subathon. But no, your actual birthday was yesterday. So happy Bappy. There's an infamous cat meme, and it's only one that I know to send Dark Sakura because it is her
my
meme
favorite.
Basically, that says, no, it are my birthday, with the cat trying to eat the birthday cake. So I texted Jamie that yesterday. Did you do anything special to celebrate?
Well, I went to San Francisco, and well, Dan and I went out for sushi. Thank you, everybody.
Ooh.
But yeah, we went up for sushi, Dan and I did, and then I saw Pride and Prejudice, which I had actually never seen the movie. I tried to make it through the book, but I really don't care for Jane Austen's writing,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it. It was great. And then yesterday, my friend Alicia and I, y'all may know her in my chat as Mabel Von Smallcat.
I like that name.
We went to San Francisco and met up with JD.
Oh shit, I haven't seen him in a while. I miss his face.
We went to Sakura Matsuri and it was just so crowded. I mean, we got to see like the cultural stuff, which is what we wanted to do. And the one makeup item I wanted wasn't there, so I was, you know, annoyed at that, but I got a lot of sheet masks and I picked up a new tea set like for matcha.
Oh fun.
You know, with the whisk and the bowl and the scoop and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got unagi, and then on the way back, we were just like, oh my god, I'm tired. Oh my god, I'm tired, and I'm hungry. So we stopped in Davis to try to find this Kaiten sushi place that Dan and I had been to at different occasions before the pandemic, and we were hoping they were still open. And it said the business was still there. But when we found the business, it looked like it was completely different. There was nobody in there.
Oh.
The place was really neat. They had really big pieces of their nigiri, and they had a wonderful unagi hand roll. And the roll that Alicia ordered was massive for what she paid for it. And I mean, it was really good. And they had those dolls like I like to collect, the traditional Japanese dolls with like the beautiful kimono and everything. And I talked to the guy there and he's like, yeah, we used to be the Kaiten sushi place. And then they had to close and they reopened as this place. So I'm like, well, I'm glad you guys are still around. I miss the Kaiten sushi, but I'm glad that you're still here and you're doing well. And it was nice. It was kind of fun to just catch up and see that a business that I really liked evolved past the pandemic, so I was happy.
Nice.
And then came home, and then but when I got home, I was too keyed up again to really go to sleep, so I stayed up until I passed out in my chair, and then I went to bed.
Good times.
The end. Then Dan made breakfast this morning, although we had it at lunchtime, and I'm like, you know, I guess it was kind of like an Easter thing. I don't do Easter. I mean, Easter for us is just, you know, food.
Mm-hmm.
It's really Passover, and sadly, there wasn't a Seder for me to attend this year, and I didn't really want to put on one myself. So yeah, and I have lots of snacky things that I will no longer be consuming after tomorrow, because tomorrow is the end of my birthday weekend, that because I took 2 days off of work. And
make your weekend a national holiday.
In other news, I did find out about what really was going on with my leg.
Oh?
So I did hurt my quad, but what I actually tore was my hamstring.
Ouch.
I had like, I went to full on sports medicine. He ultrasounded my entire right leg. It was pretty interesting. And so I start physical therapy on Thursday with a focus on dance therapy.
I was like going to say no DDR for you, but in the future, yes.
No, I can actually do DDR. I mean, the problem is the things that I can't do, like in ballet, are things that require full leg extension. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, there is a move called a développé, where you're basically bringing your leg up in front of you 90 degree or higher, you know, or to the side or to the back. I can only do that motion in attitude where your leg is a little bit bent, your knee's bent, so it looks like it's crooked a bit. I can't do it with the full extension.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, and then of course, when that's my standing leg, I have trouble going behind me with my left leg, because it's my right leg that's hurt. Yeah. So my balance isn't super great. And it's taken a while to heal, and it really should have been caught earlier that I had torn something. So it is what it is.
Sorry to hear that, but you know, hopefully the therapy and all that will help and get you back to all the ballet you want to be doing.
All the crap I did yesterday though didn't help.
Well, treat yourself. You are getting a lot of birthday love in the chat, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. I mean, it's interesting. You went to San Francisco, over the weekend yesterday, cause I'm going to San Francisco on Tuesday. But for a very different reason, we're going to see Kylie Minogue in concert is Tuesday.
Why are you
night.
Not taking me?
Because tickets are expensive.
I could have paid for my ticket.
Oh, we bought them a long time ago. I'm sorry. But yeah. Well,
fine. I'm just going to stay in my house.
Honestly.
To Danny Minogue.
You could probably get a last minute ticket. They always open up the day of. Okay. Now we're retreating.
Well, no. This week is actually starting a bunch of that work thing that's going on.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's say hello to Techmaster Loki. Hi Loki, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. Tired. I had another show last night, which was great. It was so good. We had another show. We had probably the world's most famous drag king, Landon Sider, was here performing with Nevermore Gorlesque, which I you know, host a lot of their shows down at the Colonial here locally. And it was really great to meet Landon Sider and work with him, and lots of great, you know, they'll bring in a big headliner, but then there's, you know, a good at least 10, 12, probably a dozen local acts that they do. When I say local, I mean Bay Area, Northern California, up in the foothills, that are all really good, you know, just some really cool, like, artistic stuff. So it's always a pleasure to host and do all that stuff. So once in a while, I'll be able to talk about games. Very rarely do I tell video game jokes, because it's not always that kind of crowd. But once in a while, I'll like, you know, relate horror to Dead by Daylight, and I'll be like, who in the crowd plays Dead by Daylight? You know, and I'll make fun of it, you know, somehow, like in a fun way. But Animal Crossing is a good game to make fun of, too. And I see that's what you have playing behind you tonight, as we are taping live at VOG Network. Were you in an Animal Crossing mood today, or?
No, not really. I just, you know, if we've been doing this long, start running out of games to put in there. No, I was thinking about it because I'm getting, it just shipped, I'm getting a, what was it called? It's a Retro Pocket Flip. I'm trying to remember who the company puts it. I think it's like, it's in one of those emulation Android devices, and it can do emulation for GameCube.
Oh, you're talking a little bit about this last week. Yeah.
Yeah. A GameCube, PlayStation. I mean, it goes pretty, this one is pretty powerful, so it goes pretty high up. You can even emulate some Switch games on it. Hmm. So it kind of goes up to about that point.
Because surely that's legal.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's limited. It's
Switch
like,
homebrew.
You know,
Switch homebrew.
Switch, like, yeah, I'd say like Switch indie games, you know, or you know, eShop stuff or something like that if you wanted to do that kind of thing. But mainly it was for, I want to just like have kind of a cool handheld with like a bunch of stuff on it, you know, because I don't have the space nor the TV access to like have a bunch of classic systems everywhere.
Yeah.
I have my Nintendo and that's about it. And even that is sitting in a box somewhere. But I have all my games sitting in a cabinet getting dusty over here too. So I don't know.
Did I mention that Dan got me an Animal Crossing gift box full of stuff?
No, that's fun.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
It has the keychain, the throw blanket, a bento box, a water bottle, a beanie, and a drawstring bag.
Nice. I can't wait for them to announce a successor on Switch 2. Like, it's got to happen eventually, but it'll probably just be another
year.
Yeah, maybe next year. We'll see. So, I want to go to our chat room. And Rin Mari's in chat tonight saying, I started poking at my Animal Crossing New Horizons Island again. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to go back and revisit Animal Crossing once in a while. Heck, Darksire, you were playing Animal Forest for a hot minute. Well, didn't the game, like, crash unexpectedly? It got very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the emulation I use. It's a little bit funky. They are working on an E+ translation, and I might try that one. But I wanted just to show off what the original one was like for people, you know, who had never seen it. And I've actually played like a demo of it, you know, back in the day. You have like there's some fundamental differences. Like, of course, the games, believe it or not, are in the N64 one,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have. I think the police station isn't there. Of course, in all the Japanese versions, instead of the well at town, you have a shrine.
Gotcha.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, there's like some fundamental differences, but the N64 version is pretty fun. There's also a channel I was following that has like how the code in the, because basically the GameCube version is really just the N64 version, just, you know, beefed up a bit.
Sure.
But there was one who like goes through like how sketch the code is and how you can easily manipulate it and crap like that. And that the sprite for Blathers, or not sprite, but the model for Blathers is in the N64 one, but there was no museum.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah.
So you know that they had it planned. It used to be that the way to get, I want to say, Ice Climber, was you had to send your cartridge or your save or however you were saving it to Nintendo for the N64. They would transfer it over to a GameCube safe card and then send it back with Ice Climber in your inventory.
That's so convoluted. Like, but no, I mean, that's what we did back then. And that wasn't even that long ago. The show was on the air when that was going on. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, looking at some other comments in chat, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We see Dolly Partner, hello, is in chat saying, or should I say yeehaw, saying, I just can't visit mine, talking about Animal Crossing. I don't care too much about Tom Nook. Sorry, icons. Well, Tom Nook is how children learn about capitalism these days. So, you know, Tom Nook is kind of like the original villain. So I can see why, you know, people are a little hesitant. People might be a little triggered by Tom's presence.
Interest.
No, that's true. Maybe they'll make him worse in the next game.
No, I like to think that he does a good deed. I mean,
when are they gonna?
You gotta pay back.
When are they gonna let me put a guillotine in the town square? Come on, send a warning shot. Come on. All right.
I see justice for Tom Nook and Mr. Resetti. Mr. Resetti is on the spectrum, like me. And, you know, his comorbid is OCD. He's obsessed with resetting and doing things right. He likes things just the right way, just like me.
That's true.
He has trouble with social situations, just like me. So. And that is true, Dolly. I have a better chance paying Tom Nook than my student loans, to be fair. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to refi to pay off my student loans. So.
Yeah, you'll have to hope them student loans get forgiven. And that's one thing Tom Nook won't do is forgive loans. So good luck, good luck.
Never forgives, never forgets.
Because he never asks you to pay them back anytime
Never asks,
soon.
Though.
That's true, that's true. You can live in the shack forever if you want. So there is that. You only get what? You get the gold Tom Nook statue or something, right? When you actually pay that off the last house? Isn't it something like that? You get a gold, yeah. Or is it a gold statue of yourself? I don't remember.
Yeah. And on top of that, speaking of Timmy and Tommy pod culture, he adopted them, just found them homeless and gave them jobs and a home, you know?
Oh, well, come on, Daddy Warbucks. Let's go.
So he's actually a lot kinder hearted, you know, just Tanuki are business oriented individuals. That's all.
All right.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, and honestly, you know, the reason why he is a Tanuki is because Tanuki are supposed to symbolize profit in business.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
That's why they have big testicles, because they're like money bags. The statues.
I know that's where I store all my money. So it makes sense to me.
Do they call it a money shot?
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about a game where, you know, maybe you don't have
this is an adult show, by the way.
Maybe you don't have guillotines in Animal Crossing, but you certainly have decapitations in this next game, which Loki, we've got like a rumor, but it's one of those things where it's like this is beyond rumor at this point. This is, you know, when you've got the screenshots to prove the evidence. This
yeah,
is,
it's leaked out, basically.
Yeah,
it's
happening.
It's been rumored for a while. Yeah, it's been rumored for a while that there's going to be a Oblivion remake, the fourth Elder Scrolls game. And now recently, as of, I believe it was last week, it got leaked onto, what was the website? There was a few things. So first off, it was reported through a LinkedIn profile that there was a new game being worked in, or a port being worked in Unreal Engine 5. Then later on, the actual screenshots got leaked out as well as part of, like, I don't know if it was, like, some sort of, like, marketing as assets website or something like that, but essentially had side-by-side comparisons with the original game versus the remade game, which looks pretty awesome. The rumor is it's supposed to be out very soon, and this was sort of confirmed by, like, the support bot, the Xbox support bot basically said that it's supposed to be out the end of, or is that the release on April 21st. So I guess we'll see, probably soon.
Yeah,
it's certainly coming.
Secrets.
It's certainly coming. It's just like, when exactly are we actually going to see it? But I would imagine sooner than later.
I mean,
the
21st is tomorrow. So by the time most people hear this podcast, I mean, it should be up in by the morning for people, but it'll probably already be out. I wonder what might be driving it. Like, you know, usually stealth drops happen as some part of, like, larger announcement sort of thing. Like, it's just, it seems like a weird reason to just stealth drop this game and nothing. I mean, are we getting maybe an Elder Scrolls 6 update that this will shadow drop alongside? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to create expectations or something that's not there, but it is weird that this is being planned for a shadow drop when there's nothing else happening. You know what I mean?
It almost feels like something that would, like, you would want to hold on to until, like, say you had your Xbox showcase thing.
Exactly.
Like, it's out now, you know, like, type of thing. But I don't know. Maybe they want to be out now so they can make some extra bucks in this slow time of the year.
Now available on Game Pass. I guess they've been adding some heavy hitters to Game Pass lately. You know, Diablo 3 finally went up on Game Pass, which, you know, that means 1, 3, and 4 are all on Game Pass. And it's just a matter of time, I'm sure, before they get Diablo 2 Resurrected up there as well. They had that Blue Prince game that's been everywhere. A lot of people have been really enjoying that game. That's up on Game Pass now, too. And I think it's on the PlayStation equivalent as well, to be fair. And then there's one other game that's escaped, but I feel like there's, like, a lot of stuff that, you know, they've there's the South of Midnight just came out, what, about a week ago? That's a pretty big release,
too. Yeah,
that's
not that long ago.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. Oh, and you know what else is next week, actually, now I think about it? Expedition 33, that whatever.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's coming out in the next week. So it's going to be a big week for releases, that's for sure. Good times. I also wanted to kind of bring attention to where you were talking about that the bot kind of like spoiled the actual release date, because this to me is a really funny side effect of all of these companies leaning so hard into AI. And this is a really shining example, I think, of the you get what you pay for with the AI technology, is that the AI is not going to understand that nuance of an NDA. And if it has access to that sort of information, it's going to put it out there. I think this is a really funny way that somebody figured out about this, is by, you know, because companies are investing so much into AI before I really think it's ready or accurate. That's what this is an accuracy issue, is that the accurate thing would have been to tell that person that, oh, we haven't said anything about that yet, but it can't understand that sort of nuance yet. I mean, yeah, one could argue AI will get better, AI will get there or something, but you know, one thing AI is incapable of is that whole emotion thing. So I don't know. I thought this was a very interesting side effect that ought to have companies raising an eyebrow a little bit on how fast they implement AI. They won't, of course, but this is the price to pay for that. So even though, and I know the article said it was like that supposedly on social media, you get real life people and all that stuff. I would bet that it's with an asterisk. It's like you get real life people at a certain point. That doesn't mean that you get it right out the gate or anything like that. Rin Mari in chat.
It doesn't matter. I mean, either way, they still leaked it out through the support system, whether it's a bot or not.
Or maybe it could be third party that didn't know any better. Who knows? But yeah, you get what you pay for. Rin Mari in chat also says, I am very apprehensive at AI for a bunch of reasons. Oh, same. I mean, I don't want to. We've gone deep in this AI topic previously, and you know, the parts where it can be a decent thing, you know, that's how we're going to get to 8K, 12K, you know, whatever is in the future for graphics, is that, you know, those sorts of tools that help to speed that process up with refining art. But that has to be something that's trained off of internal mechanisms and internal things, not things that are trained off of other people's shit on DeviantArt and all that stuff. That's where you get the really, you know, derpy six finger stuff that AI art does today. But as like a Google 2.0, you know, type of thing for inspiration, replacing essentially what people use Googling for today. Give me a list of 10 ideas I could make a YouTube about this week type of thing. You know, that's something that maybe somebody would have Googled before for inspiration. So I think AI is going to help with that. But people trying to replace these very complex mechanisms with AI, I think are in for a shock. Like, I'm hearing in all these different industries about how AI is like replacing jobs already. And it's one of those, they're going to get what they pay for with those cutting those sets of corners.
Typically, that's the case. I mean, that's how you have AI negotiating a car. What was it? Buying a car for a dollar. because they're like, you know, they were able to hack it by like twisting the logic in it or something. I don't know. It's silly.
Well, you know, the creator of ChatGPT was pleading people to stop saying please and thank you to AI because it's a waste of computing resources. So you all know what to do. Who said, let's show everybody
this
chivalry isn't dead.
Thank you yet?
Let's see. Rin Mari also says, my biggest fear is AI being used for deep fakes and spinning false narratives. You know, once in a blue moon, there's a funny one, but it's like, it's one of those like AI that's so bad, it's good. So there was one with the whole, you know, Katy Perry in space was all the rage this week, right? So there was an AI deep fake that was posted where she does her little thing and she's showing the butterfly or the flower, whatever the fuck she was doing to the camera. And then the window shatters and she gets sucked out the window and that's all done in AI. And so it's kind of one of those like, oh, that's kind of funny. But you know, that it's also very obviously a deep fake, you know, type of thing. But yeah, I do agree that like that shit's going to become very problematic very fast. And it's probably going to take several lawsuits of somebody being shown doing something that they aren't actually doing. And that taking steam in a major way for that to come to head. But we'll see. Who knows? So all right. What else do I want to say about the Oblivion remake? Oh, are you going to, would you play it when it comes out, Logie?
Probably. It was one of the games, one of my launch games I had for the 360. I haven't played it as much as Skyrim. I'm hoping though, like what I'd probably be more interested in is playing it on PC when it comes out, especially with all the modding and everything. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that the mod, there is a mod already that makes this HD, but apparently the mod creators had somewhat good spirits about it, I guess. And, you know, kind of realized that one of these HD remakes would be inevitable at some point. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, my ex played Oblivion way too much and the music still gives me flashbacks to this day. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and get into our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. And we'll get into how was your gaming week, Dark Sakura. And by the way, I think your avatar is flickering on and off for some reason. It's doing a funky little dance. I don't know. But of course, now that I say something, it's not doing it anymore. But when I look away, it'll do it.
It's just you, Rob. You're hallucinating.
Clearly, I'm being gaslit by computer bugs tonight. Oh well. That's the AI fighting back. All right. Anyway, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
You know, I'm not one.
No, I know. I know you're not.
How do you know?
You'll never know.
It's a good guess. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I played like half a minute of this Sailor Moon beat 'em up in the little arcade. I played some gachapon machines and, you know, some stuff like that. Mostly it's been Dead by Daylight, trying to get through the event. I'm probably going to be doing some killer tonight since I don't work tomorrow. Unless, you know, the Swift mates decide to come play.
I'm really overdue for a play date. I need to get in on that sometime. I know you keep inviting me and I've just been so like, it's weird. I've actually been leaving the house and shit lately. It's a weird feeling, but I really want to play with you again sometime.
We're not going to have much longer for this event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like the game's going anywhere, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I mostly, you know, my thing is getting all the cosmetics and stuff. So. I played Palia. I have almost finished my second property, which is a little witch in the woods kind of thing. I've learned how to do some design glitching. So I have like some furniture merges and a few things out of bounds, and it's pretty cool so far, you know. I have a lamp growing out of the ground, and the lamp is kind of like tree-ish. So it looks really like it is growing out of the ground. It's kind of cool. Still playing Fruit Mountain. I finally topped my 7,000 point score and got one over 8,000 points, so that was really nice. I'm playing my stupid Mahjong game. I'm playing the Suika game. I played a little Mass Effect.
Oh, fun.
And I'm actually, yeah, Mass Effect right now is probably qualifying as my retro night question mark in Terabang. But I've been enjoying it. I mean, it's fun. I might, Palia is supposed to be getting an update with a new area on March 13th. So I will be playing a shit ton of Palia when that happens. So yeah, that's where we are.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll, move on to Loki in your gaming week. How was your gaming week, Loki?
Just Minecraft as usual.
I saw you got a new video. You've been cranking out the videos lately. Good for you.
Yeah, 7 weeks in a row.
Good for you.
It's gonna slow down here eventually, but yeah, it's been easy to do because I've just been building farms and stuff, so it's pretty quick. But yeah, 7 weeks in a row now. Yeah, so it's just,
I feel like your videos are getting some good views too, like lately. Like,
yeah,
is it just, like
right
you're
now,
getting
yeah.
1,000, 2,000. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, it comes and goes, though, like, because, like, you know, the next episode I put out could just, you know, get a few views. You never know.
Not the views are everything. I mean, God, Lord knows we've done this show for as long, but still, it's nice. And here's the thing. You work very hard on it, and I know that And I know that, you know, views are a metric that helps you get ads and money and that type of stuff. And I do feel like you deserve that type of reward on YouTube. You know, I guess a lot of people do, but you especially. I'm biased, okay?
Yeah, it's basically...
I know how hard you work.
It's watch time right now is what we need to get up, because there isn't a whole lot of watch time. There are people, like, finding it or it's getting pushed, and then they're like, oh, hey, you know, and then they're like, ah, this is not for me.
Or so you need to, or you need to push on play and then go walk and do something, or set up the favorite demo computers at Best Buy to be watching. Look, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, because I don't want to get them in trouble. But, you know, hey, stream it in the background a little bit while you, you know, clean the house. And
yeah, we'll get there eventually. It's probably going to take something outside of the SMP stuff that I've been doing with like Channel 64. Because usually you get a larger audience with like a single player series or modded or who knows. So eventually I'll get there. I need to get to a point now where I'm doing a lot more planning and build designing and stuff. So that's where it's going to slow down. It's not going to be just making weekly episodes of stuff. But, you know, I'm hoping to still be able to break up some of those projects a bit more, because that was something I've struggled with for the past few seasons. So we shall see if I can do that. But hopefully I can. And then
do you think the movie is bringing some eyes back to the Minecraft creation?
Not to me. I mean, cause they're never pushing my stuff. They're pushing like the people that already have an audience, their things. So like you're getting, Hermitcraft folks. I mean, to be fair though, like one of them, at least he was working with them on pre-production. So he designed all of the like stuff in the world, or like, you know, some of the redstone stuff. They brought him in as a consultant to do all that. So that was pretty cool. Gotcha. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, it's always the big creators that get the same focus on all like the Minecraft stuff, despite the fact that, you know, they have said several times, hey, shout out those small creators and we'll do blah, 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 you know, do something with it. And then it's like, and so then I get like an attitude and be like, I thought you said you were going to do something with this.
Who won the Mega Man contest? Who won the Mega Man
contest? Yeah, who won the Mega Man contest? Like, you know, I thought you were going to do something like this. You keep asking for small creators and you do nothing with it. So like, why am I going to waste my effort to keep shouting out the same creators? And especially when they're like small creators and people are like, Green Mumbo Jumbo. It's like they have 5 million plus view or subs. They're not small. They're at the top. Like they're not unheard of like creators. Like it's just funny.
SJ100 Matt in chat says, I did get to see the movie. It was a lot better than I expected. So I still have not seen the movie. But I don't get out to the movies very often, which is a running theme on this show. So hey. All right, anything else, yeah. Loki?
That's it.
My gaming week. So I've actually picked up Final Fantasy 14 again. I've been working on getting my machinist to level 100. I've finally been working on the patch content, and I'm actually really excited that we're finally getting an update to the game on Tuesday. It's like a mini patch, but it's bringing the crafting gathering stuff, which tends to be, I don't super get into crafting gathering, but I like the little competitive stuff that they put in that makes it more engaging and more interesting and gives you things to build for tickets and things like that. So I'm excited for that to hit the game on Tuesday. There's a lot of everything we were just saying earlier, there's that Expedition 33, like there's so much fucking hitting this week. It's pretty crazy. So, but I'm excited for that. So I've been playing that. I don't think I talked about this last week, but I played a little bit last week and I played again this week. I actually bought Tetris Grandmaster 4, on Steam, and really that's from all of you hyping it. And some of the Tetris hype I was getting a little bit from, when I played the, Gold Master collection, the Tetris, one that Digital Eclipse did. I forgot the actual name of that Tetris collection, the Tetris story or whatever that was, that actually explained a little bit of the differences on where Grandmaster came from and kind of, thank you, Tetris Forever, Bobby, where that came from and why it's different and why people are really into the Grandmaster and stuff. Like I sort of knew some of it, like I knew it played a little differently, but now that I've actually kind of got my hands on Grandmaster 4 and have been playing that and really have learned about how, oh yeah, wow, the time for bricks to click into place really does take a little longer in this. And that's how people can do T-spins. Because I was always like, how do you fucking do T-spins? But in Grandmaster, it's actually kind of easier. But I say that with a big asterisk, because overall the game is actually like, it has some really mean, nasty, fast modes where it's like insta drops, and you have to click things into place fast. So it's wild. Rin Mari says, I hate T-spin meta. I prefer to spam Tetris's all day. Yeah, that's the way I play too. My brain is not thinking in a T-spin way yet, and maybe I need to watch some tutorials on how to do it. That would probably up my game. That helped me on my Luminous game. I watched maybe 30 minutes of how to be a better Luminous player, and once I started learning the trick about using like the 3-1 blocks and like using the nubs to create like squares in the places where you needed them and stuff, I was like, oh my god, I can go a full round on Luminous now. It only took me just kind of like seeing the game in a new way to do that. So I need to do the same thing with Tetris, quite honestly. But yeah, I'm enjoying Grandmaster. There is an interesting mode where all the blocks become big, and then you play that way, and that also sort of teaches you some of the spatial thing. And my God, so like you actually follow like a guide at the bottom, like shows you like how to completely get all clears. You have to keep going back and forth between the holds. Like it thinks through the holds way faster than I do when I play Tetris. And maybe that's my problem too, is that I pretty much only put the straight line brick. Like I'm sure a lot of you put the straight line brick in the hold, and then you kind of wait for you need to, and then you use that. And maybe once in a while, like if there's a Z brick that doesn't make sense, I'll throw that in the hold until I see an opportunity, you know, that whole type of thing. But my God, playing that mode, which Rin Mari says is Konoha mode. I always said that right. Which teaches you how to do that. I was like, oh my God, the way Konoha, the way you have to go back and forth with the holds is wild. I don't have that brain capacity for Tetris. So no wonder people prefer the NES version, because it doesn't have a fucking hold. But I do. Overall, I like the hold mechanic. I do. So I'm just, but yeah, I've been playing Grandmaster 4. So congrats, chat. You did it. You finally convinced me to get something that I got sucked into. It's actually, I will say, where that game is really fun.
You are a grown ass man. You made that decision all on your own.
Well, and to be fair, I've always kind of had a soft spot for Tetris, right? Like Tetris Forever, Tetris Effect. I loved them both. And then, but y'all hyped up Grandmaster, and I was like, all right, I should get on this bandwagon already. I should see what this is all about. So I did, and I don't regret it, because it's really fun on Steam Deck. It is a great like Steam Deck kind of game before bed, just one more turn type of thing on Steam Deck. So that's where I really enjoy it. So otherwise, lots of GPS games, lots. So because Alan,
I thought of another game I played.
What's that?
Sorry, you reminded me. I played some Luminous.
Oh yeah, hey, that's a classic. Yeah. One of my favorites. One of my all-time favorites. Because Alan and I have been doing a lot of walking. We've been having a walking challenge at work, and just generally we've been trying to like be better about health and stuff like that and just get out walking. Let me tell you, so like Pikmin Bloom is all about walking, right? So we blew through the, because Alan and I have both been trying to walk like 4 or 5 miles a day. We blew through the flower challenge that we have like a tradition ever since I got Bobby Black Wolf and Mrs. Black Wolf into Pikmin Bloom. Nearly every week, unless I forget or something goes awry, nearly every week I get the four of us into a flower planting challenge where you have to, as a group, plant 30,000 flowers. You plant flowers by walking and turning it on, turning it off. It's a lot less to like look at your phone and do than Pokemon Go, which is why I like Pikmin Bloom. You turn it on, you walk, you turn it off, done, right? We blew through that fucking challenge by like Tuesday. And so Alan and I were like, we have all these tickets that we keep winning in the little because, you know, Pikmin Bloom has their own version of a battle pass. We don't buy into it, but you get the free spins. And so we keep getting all these tickets. And Alan and I were like, should we do a second one? And we did. We did a second flower challenge by ourselves, just the two of us. We had it open to see if anybody else would join. Nobody else joined. We did a second challenge by ourselves by Friday. And it's like, that's how much walking we've been doing, but it's been good. And the weather's been perfect for it. So I've also been playing Ingress as well. Ingress introduced, I don't talk about my Ingress habits a lot on this show, but I do think this is interesting. Ingress has finally found a way to bring in a battle pass. And I knew this was going to happen because every other fucking Niantic game, and we're not talking about the sale. That sale hasn't closed, by the way. So there's a lot of fans out there that are saying, it's Scopely's influence. This is what Scopely's doing. Scopely. It hasn't closed, y'all. It's just been announced, but it's got a clear. So right now, at least, it is still, you know, Niantic's choices and all that stuff. they have been doing all of these battle. So Monster Hunter Now, I think, was the first one that had a battle pass. Pikmin Bloom's whole mechanic, it's not as battle passy, but it kind of feels like it, like the way they've kind of instituted in that game. Pokemon Go has figured out a way to battle pass during special events. They'll do points for catching Pokemon, all this stuff, and all that. And now Ingress has it too. And I was like, well, this is just a matter of time, because literally every other Niantic game has figured out how to battle pass. So what they're doing is, for anomaly seasons, now all the badges run off points, and you get points by doing bounties, which a lot of this shit is new to Ingress. They've only put it in the last couple of years. You do these bounties. It's like capture 2 portals, walk 2 kilometers, throw 1 field. You know, you use these for points. And those points go into the anomaly season, which runs for like 2 or 3 months. And you get these rewards as you hit certain levels, including a different tiered badge for the anomaly season. And sure enough, they introduced a battle pass, so you can double your rewards. If you buy the, you know, whatever it is, the $10, $20 battle pass, you can get extra rewards as you go through. And I was like, there it is. They figured out how to battle pass Ingress, of all things. So things have come full circle. But by the way, like, looking at the items you get, terrible, terrible value in my opinion. Like, you get 25 Aegis shields, which are the most powerful shields in the game. But it's like, hack them, lazy. Go hack, learn to overclock. You don't need to buy a battle pass to get 25 Aegis shields. Anyway, Rinmari in chat says, to be honest, I don't care for the licensed GPS games. I like Ingress because it has original lore. I remember going to an anomaly event in SF in 2013. I really like the social element. Hell yeah, I think I was at that event. Or at least I was at one, maybe 2018 was when I went to San Francisco Anomaly. But yeah, the in-person events are a lot of fun. Like, I like Ingress because it's never dull. Because of the player versus player element, as frustrating as that can be sometimes, because it's like, that fucking retired guy that plays all fucking day long came and took down my fucking portals and threw a field. You know, as frustrating as that whole thing can be, it's one of those things where it's like, but like, it's like motivating for me to get it back out, walk, and just fucking throw it again. And it's never a dull moment. So I don't know. It keeps me on my toes. What can I say? I have a good time. And then, yeah, the social events are a lot of fun, but I still fear that game's gonna go with all. I mean, I know Niantic kept it and they're planning to do something, but like, I guess that game will continue to contribute places of interest for scanning and things like that. I feel like Ingress and Scanniverse will merge at some point, and that's gonna be what Niantic is going in to train their world awareness, you know, AR stuff that they can build AR gaming off of. That's the long-term plan. They want to build what the world looks like to help with AR gaming and all that crap. So it'll be interesting, but I'm curious how Ingress and Scanniverse, that are almost certainly likely to fuse together, is going to get them there. Anyway, enough talk about a game very few of you play, but I do think it's very influential in that AR gaming space, and it is worth keeping an eye on. Again, without it, you would have never got Pokemon Go, which took over the world in 2016 and, you know, still does very well for itself. And Pikmin Bloom, Monster Hunter Now, both really decent games. If you give them a try, I talk about them for a reason. I enjoy them. All right. Well, let's talk about
it. Damn it, Rob.
I know. Damn it. Janet. All right, let's talk about a console that a lot of you are really excited to pre-order. And now you finally can, right, Loki?
Yes, we finally can, because after the short delay from the beginning of the month when all the tariff madness was, well, still going on, but when it first started, Nintendo had halted pre-orders on the Nintendo Switch 2, which was originally supposed to take place on April 9th. But now we have the new date. It will launch April 24th. This has also been confirmed by other partner retailers as well. Like, Target shows that theirs are going to go up midnight Eastern on the 24th. Of course, the two versions that will be available, the game by itself, or the system by itself, and then, of course, the bundle with Mario Kart World for $4.99. Now, the console prices have stayed the same, but the accessories have gone up. And so now the accessories are going to be even more expensive. So the Switch 2 Pro controller went up $5 from $80 to $85. Joy-Con 2s are now $95 instead of $90. The crappy camera is $55 instead of $50. So yeah, that kind of sucks. But you don't necessarily need all that stuff. You can wait for a sale, maybe.
Or you can wait for this cock-a-doodle tariff stuff to, you know, for you-know-who in charge to change his mind again, or somebody to slap some sense into him or something, where they realize that this whole thing was a very, very bad idea. I mean, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because I can't, you know, it's funny. I do a lot of predictions on this program. I do a lot of predictions on the gaming industry and all that. And I've had some things come true. Not everything, some things come true. But there's one fucking thing I can't predict. And that's anything happening in Washington, D.C. So, you know what? Spin the wheel and just, that's going to be what happens tomorrow. So we'll see.
And it will change the day after.
Yes, exactly. Mike Defton chat says, you know, that's a good part of this is that you don't really need any of these accessories if you already have Switch 1 stuff. And that's where I'm at. I don't really need that camera. It's a cute idea, but sure, you know.
They were showing off. They did like a funny little bit because, you know, Paul Rudd was in the original Super Nintendo console control commercial, and so now they had him reprise that role or whatever for the Switch 2, and they were just showing off like Mario Kart world gameplay and the camera and just like the screen sharing type stuff that's going on. It looks so bad. Like, the games look good, the idea of chatting with your friends look good, but that screen share thing, just, they should have just cut it out. Like, it's not necessary because it looks awful. It looks like when we first used, I mean, granted, when we first used to stream this show, like, it was one frame every 10 seconds.
Yep.
But eventually it wasn't great either. It was like, you know, 12 frames per second or something like that. Like, 20 years ago, like, it's,
there's
not
still
even
archive video from like 2006. There's us playing the Final Fantasy 13 demo on like our fucking cable internet connection in the old garage studio.
Yeah.
That's out on the, it's, there's an Orange Lounge Twitch channel out there. Orange Lounge Radio on Twitch. We haven't used it in a very long time, but there's archive footage still there to this day from way back
but
when.
It just looks so bad. I get it. The voice chat stuff's good, but like, man, that does not represent the console very well. Like, it's, you should have just cut that feature because it wasn't really necessary and it's half baked. But the rest is fine. Now, Mario Kart, they had a Mario Kart Direct, which is kind of cool. They got the show off. So the classic tracks are remixed and mixed in the world as well. So that's kind of neat. And they have a bunch of new weapons and stuff, new items in the boxes that you can do. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited about the game. But like, man, that commercial just did not do that camera and that feature justice at all. It's just awful. Or maybe it did. I mean, it's just an awful feature.
I'm looking in chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Going back to the talk about Washington being unpredictable. Jay Helinski in chat says, I predicted there is insider trading going on in DC. Well, that's a safe bet that you can. Yep. That's the one bet I would take. Corruption in my administration.
There's already evidence of it. I mean, it's just because you see, oh hey, look at that. That's weird. There's like heavy trading right before the announcement of this thing happens. That's so strange that it just so happened to be that these people traded all these stocks right before, you know, this announcement made that they would certainly be aware of. Odd.
Anyway, I will definitely try to get a Nintendo Switch 2. You know, I'm glad that the price isn't going up, all things considered. I'm assuming that Nintendo is taking a somewhat calculated risk that they have enough stock in the warehouses to help kind of see them through for a little bit, that maybe they don't have to bring any more over until hopefully this whole thing, you know, somebody fucking gets the president to attack dog something else and go back on this tariff thing. But, you know, or heaven forbid, Congress fucking step in and say, which, by the way, they could do tomorrow, Congress could step in and say, actually, Congress could actually, there's not an emergency, because the president has rights to declare these tariffs when there's an emergency, but Congress can step in and say,
it's not even an emergency. It's when we're at war, which we are not at war. They're like, we're fighting the war on fentanyl, okay.
That's what we're waiting for Congress to do is say, well, actually, there's not a war. So null and void. They could do it tomorrow, but they won't. Rin Marian chat says, maybe overly optimistic, but hopefully more corporations start taking action against tariffs. More corporations that influence Congress people, because we all know what fucking happens. That's the part that needs to be happening. But, you know, as Joe and Hunter Matt says, well, gotta wait for the midterms. I mean, we hope, but I mean, we all thought this wouldn't happen in the first place. And here we are. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice.
Well, then you also have to, you figure too, you know, some of these corporations do want this kind of stuff to happen. They want people to not be able to afford things so that they can swoop in, or assuming that basically he tanks the market, they swoop in and get a deal on all these stocks, and then the market eventually recovers. But they, you know, were able to swoop in and acquire more wealth.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I will get a Switch too, but the accessories can wait. I mean, I wanted to get a Pro controller, but I'm not, like, I'm just fundamentally against paying for these things wherever I can prevent it. And I don't, as much as I love doing this show, and I video games are not a necessity, and I can cut that out to avoid this. You know, other things like groceries and shit and things that are imported from other countries that, you know, are in salads and shit like that, I'm not going to have a choice. But where I can cut it out and do that stuff, you know, is gonna make sense. And that's just what I'm going to have to do. So we'll see. Anyway, in that segment, Loki was talking a little bit about a Mario Kart World Direct. And yes, a Mario Kart World Direct, it did happen this week as well. This was their opportunity to show why this game is worth $80. And, you know, that's an opinion. If this game is worth $80, that's your question to answer. But some of the features that they were showing were things like the Grand Prix races, knockout tours, battle mode, free roam. So, of course, we know there's an interconnected world, right? So we know it's like a big open world, kind of like a Forza game, but for Mario Kart, which, again, that's no shade. Forza Horizon is like a fucking like high bar in racing. And the fact that like Mario is taking inspiration from that is a good thing. That's where like that innovating in the genre stuff, that's great. I have no problem with that. I mean, maybe I have a problem with all of these things being in one game leading to that high price, but you know, that's for Nintendo to figure out, you know.
I mean, Forza wasn't $90, so true. I'm kind of confused as true. To why this one is.
True. Well, but you say that, but Forza had a Game of the Year edition, or not Game of the Year, an early access advanced launch where you could play the game early. It had the super bundle of the game that included both season passes, which were an additional, what, $15-$20 on top of that and all this other stuff. So I do somewhat have an issue because it goes back to that whole thing when it's like, well, these other games are cheap, but it's like, well, are they? Because they're not really giving you the full thing out the gate.
Right,
know?
But
I do agree.
Are we going to really believe, like, we're going to sit here and believe that Nintendo's never going to release any sort of DLC for
Of course
this
I don't
game.
Believe that. Of course
it's
I don't
complete
that.
As is.
Yeah.
Please. Like, no.
especially in the character department, for sure. But anyway, Grand Prix, you know, standard. We know Flower Cup, Star Cup, all that good stuff, and more. So there might be more. Because they're talking about a certain colorful course, which you all know is fucking Rainbow Road, right? Knockout tour, where you go from one end of the map to the other. It's an extended kind of thing where you go through checkpoints and people fall out as they don't place in a certain place. Then, of course, you could just do free roam. Just roam around the world and do whatever the hell you want. That's kind of neat. I mean, that's like, you know, that's why people loved Zelda Breath of the Wild, right? It was a lot of that free open stuff.
There's collectibles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the game, I think that's cool. That very much feels.
You mean like
barns
with cars in them, type of thing?
Well, yes, that too. But no, I'm talking about
billboards
like,
to drive
like
through. Yes,
yeah, more Burnout Paradise. Yeah, yeah.
No, I gotcha. It's a staple of the genre and all that. Battle mode is going to be back, which is, you know, fun. That was always fun on the classic. That was the classic Super Nintendo one was great. There's 24 racers at a time, as we know. Game chat, they're talking about, and camera play and all that stuff, if that's of interest to you. Lots of characters. I mean, yeah, they're talking about all these things in the direct. And yeah, like I'm going to pick up the bundled version. Hopefully, we're assuming that they're going to be relatively easy to get if you're on there at midnight. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I think many people are kind of going, okay, I'm going to try to get the Target pre-order.
Scalpers, for sure.
And then I'm going to try to get this pre-order. And, you know, hopefully one of them comes through. So we'll see. But, well, speaking of scalpers, let's go to what Dark Sakura has to talk about.
There we go. So, well, you know, scalpers are going to scalp, but Japanese retailers have actually been reaching out to ask the public what they would suggest for combating scalpers. And one of them put out a social media post. It's Nojima Online was asking people what their ideas were. And one user, Tatsuya, said to make customers show identification, open the instruction manual, the inside of the box, protected plastic, etc., write their names on it. And another one said that selling the console out of the case or making customers sign a warranty in their own name, quizzing people on Nintendo knowledge. Another user was saying had to state what about the Twitch 2 makes them want to buy it. Honestly enough,
just limit one console per person. I mean, or one or two.
But if you've got like a group of people who are acquiring them for resale, you know, that's a different story. I do like the idea of them being serialized and having the serial number registered. This is my idea anyway. Having the serial number registered to the buyer.
Interesting.
Yeah, but gifts and stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, then they also would mark that this is a gift and who the recipient is.
I suppose.
So, you know, so that it has to be, you know, registered or even like some sort of biometric scanner. I don't know. But I mean, in the end, what somebody does with what they buy is up to them. But there's only so much one can do to limit those purchases.
Yep.
You know, I think that at least making them serialized and having the serial numbers registered to the buyer. And that way, you know, as well, or even for the resale sites, make a requirement for them that they have to post the serial number at time of sale. You know, that's all I can think of.
Or just let people fight about it in the parking lot. I'm just kidding. Let's see. Looking
Fight Club, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Orange Riot Chat says, one scalper showing up with various glasses and fake mustaches. Yes. SSG100 Matt, I think with the best point here is the best way to combat scalpers is to not buy from them. Let them go broke. Unfortunately, the wrong people are not hearing that, or the people hearing that message are not the people that need to hear that message.
Consumerism will win every time.
Yeah, which is unfortunately.
And
yeah.
I do have to just state right now that the use of slippery slope as an argument is inherently fallacious. So I can't really talk to an argument about that since it's based on speculation. Maybe they should be under some kind of DRM.
Yeah, Jay Helinski in chat says it is the one that said it's a slippery slope because it could very quickly turn into a DRM.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, in a consumerist market, you got to give the consumer the demand. If the demand, you know, isn't there from the original source, then they're going to go to the secondary market.
I sort of think this is why I think Nintendo's way of how they're selling it on their official, because that's the one thing we haven't heard the pre-order details from, and I think might be out of sight, out of mind for some people, is that Nintendo is also selling them directly through their own, you know, warehouse or whatever channels, and they're requiring you to have a Nintendo Online. I don't know if they require the subscription, but you have to have an online account and at least 50 hours registered and playing games before the day they announced it, which, you know, people that play enough video games at some point have racked up, even I've racked up 50 hours easy on the Switch just playing Pokemon of the various sorts. So I do think there's something about like giving those people priority and sort of like first dibs, I think kind of helps, but I understand Best Buy can't measure to that. Target can't measure to that. That's only something that Nintendo can do first party. And if that was the only way to get a Switch, then it would turn into a whole antitrust thing, because they sort of have to release some stock the other ways as well. But I wonder if there's going to be a lot. I wonder if it's going to be that situation where there's like one or two of them per Target. You know, we're kind of assuming, I think, a lot of people that there's going to be a lot of them.
Better than that.
I hope so. I hope so. But what was it? Didn't they release something where it was like there was four of them? Was it those NES Classics or something? People were just, and it was like, oh, a store would get like four of them, five of them.
Maybe. But like, yeah, I think there's obviously they're going to make sure there's enough stock. I mean, that's the whole thing. I can't imagine it's going to be like four per Target or something like that with the amount of pre-orders they're going to be getting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on for another development about the Switch 2. Loki.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if this is not much of a surprise, but considering what, you know, Xbox has already been doing with the Switch and porting games over. But Phil Spencer says that Xbox will bring games to the Switch 2 as well. I mean, kind of duh. Yeah,
it's nice to have it confirmed, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is so we've been supporting Switch 1. I want to support Switch 2. Nintendo has been a great partner, and I think it's a unique way for us to reach players who aren't PC players, who aren't players on Xbox. It lets us continue to grow our community of people that care about franchises that we have, and it's really important for us to make sure we continue to invest in our games. Yeah, I mean, I certainly thought that we could, you know, count on this stuff to be on there, and I would be surprised if we haven't already seen some games that they've announced for the Switch 2 already. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'd be surprised if they didn't. Like, nah, it's, you know.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to support the Switch 2. To hell with them. We're EA. No, that's good.
SJ100 Matt says Diablo is technically an Xbox game that's on Switch 2. Did they confirm Diablo 4 yet for Switch 2?
I think that was in one of their like little
It's hard for me to make heads and tails of it, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they confirmed that. It would make a lot of sense. Why not? Right. So
yeah, let's see.
I was going to say that Microsoft has also shown up recently in Battle.net a little more, because, you know, they have Activision Blizzard, and Battle.net kind of goes back to the Warcraft, Starcraft, and Diablo types of days. They're adding Sea of Thieves to it, which is kind of interesting. And you also can work your Game Pass through Battle.net now, because you actually play like classic Diablo, Diablo 3, and you play a lot of that through Battle.net as opposed to the Xbox client, which is kind of interesting. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, also on the Microsoft front, they launched something this week that's kind of an interesting feature, especially for those of you that like to game on more than one stream, or excuse me, more than one screen. You can now stream games that you own through Game Pass Ultimate. So this was something that back in November, you were able to play select games that you owned via cloud streaming on PC, and you could play that on your phone, tablet, handheld. You know, that was the thing, right? Everything is an Xbox. What is an Xbox? Everything, right? Through this whole streaming thing. And then
everything Xbox.
That's right. In December, they extended it for Xbox One and the Series X and S consoles. But now you can, you know, starting this week, everybody can stream select games from your own library on your console. So let's say if you have like an Xbox One console, you can actually stream Series S and X games that you don't have to buy a new console for. So if you have new stuff, and then like if you're playing on a tablet or something, I mean, I don't see how every game would work with this, but some of them that rely less heavily on inputs, you know, like maybe you're playing a Civilization 7 or something, you could play that on a tablet stream it that way. And that means you can save storage. You don't have to install as many games because we know hard drives are getting very full. Pretty nice. Lots of games added to the library of supported games, including Disney Epic Mickey, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, lots and lots that you can see on the Xbox website if you want to check that out. I have not really used this feature a lot. One thing I have used, though, is that on my computer, I will stream from the Xbox downstairs. You can just do like a live play where you just see it like it's on your TV. It's streaming through like your home internet instead of out through the cloud or whatever. It's just streaming on the home internet. And I have played some Xbox games that way. Obviously, the delay is kind of eh. But sometimes if I want to like unlock achievements in Diablo 4 or something, you can stream a game that way or just play something that for whatever reason is on Xbox, but not my PC, which I really can't think of a lot. I think most of it is. So there you go. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, the Gaming Awards 2025, they've announced the nominees. That is to be, I can't make words happen today. There are three nominations for Dragon Age: The Veilguard. And a few others coming out, but they are, it's being broadcasted on World of Wonders WoW Presents Plus on Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. So other nominees include Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Dragon's Dogma 2, The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, Paper Mario, Fear the Spotlight, Caravan Sandwich. Game of the Year nominees are Dragon Age: The Veilguard, Dragon's Dogma 2, Fear the Spotlight, Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Paper Mario, and The Last of Us Part 2. We've had nominations for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Sorry We're Closed, Kitsune Tales, a few others. So there's quite a number of, I don't want to tease them all, people should watch it if they want to know more.
Get that viewer count up. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool to see that support still going on. All right. Well, let's move on. Loki.
All right. Well, I mean, not to be left out in the dust by Nintendo, Sony is here to say, hey, guess what, guys? We can raise prices, too. Why not? It's fun. Everybody's doing it. So they're going to increase the price of PlayStation Plus in 20 countries. This is right after, of course, they raised the price of the PlayStation 5 as well. So, essentially...
Well, it's only going to get worse. If those tariffs stay in place, those PlayStation 5s are going to cost you twice as much during the holiday. Good luck.
Right. Well, I mean, but this is even... These are countries outside of the United States as well. So,
yeah.
No. So, essentially, the three tiers of PlayStation Plus that they have. So Essential, which was $95 a year, is now going up to $110. The Extra, which is $155 a year, is now $190. And Premium, which was $190, is now $225. And, the reason for this, well... I don't know. They didn't give one, but no, I'm assuming it's basically to keep putting out more content on there. I guess things are getting more expensive or something like that. But yeah, so this is going to happen in 15 Latin American countries, 5 Southeast Asian nations, and South Korea and Australia. Man, poor Australia. They get just jacked when it comes to pricing all the time. Yeah, that sucks. Look at your wallet.
SSGO 100 Matt in chat says, the only console not getting a hike, the Intellivision Amico.
Kind of have to have a console first in order to hike it.
Yeah, you have to have something to actually release in order to up the price of it. But sure. All right. This is something we haven't really talked a lot about on this show is some of the shovelware that you might see on PlayStation 5. We see plenty of this on Steam, But you don't really hear often about how there's a lot of BS that's on PlayStation 5 as well. In fact, three companies, developers, were delisted from the PlayStation Store in this past week. Adventure Games, Gaming Dev, and Grizzly Games. You know, there are things like, there's a lot of shovelware, and things that will try to name themselves similar to popular games. Like, there's a flight simulator VR.
Rip them off. They'll just steal the code and publish it.
I think that was one of the ones that was delisted this week, is I think one of these companies was making a game that was Repo Ghost Hall. But we all know that's a big popular game right now, is that REPO, you know, that Repo is big on Twitch right now and stuff. So they had their own version of it, this one of these companies, and that's been taken down. And so, you know, they just have – it's a bunch of garbage. I guess there's a bunch of, like, XXX language quiz games that are out there as well, which sound like they were probably generated by AI, because I was reading a Reddit post about it, and somebody was saying that – I checked out the one in my native language and it was full of errors. Probably because those games were generated by AI. Like, let's say what it is. You know, so it sounds like Sony maybe does not have the people power to be reviewing all of these in a timely manner. And something's going to have to give on this front, because a lot of that crap starts to look bad on them. So Bobby
says, this has been an issue for like a long time. Like, I know, Stephanie Sterling kept pointing out, I think it's Guilford B. Pontus or something like that, that puts out like these games that are kind of like souls like games, but they're like barely functional. And he's been doing that for God, I think he's published several games for like the last like 10 years or whatever, and they've all been just this shovelware garbage. So I'm sure there's plenty, other than these three, plenty of studios putting out that content.
Bobby in chat says a lot of the shovelware is platinum trophy farms. Play for 10 minutes and get an easy platinum. Yeah.
And why would you do that? Just to make your score grow up?
I mean, some people get really weird about, you know, the size of their e-penis on their platinum trophy. But also, technically, you get an elevated PlayStation Plus level by earning trophies. So, but there's really nothing you get out of that. Like, they say it's priority access of voice chat. What the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does that mean? Doesn't mean anything.
It's EPing, like you said.
Yeah, it's EPing, exactly. And Rin Mario chat says achievement culture. Da, da, da. I can say all that, but still kind of sort of wish that Nintendo would implement some sort of system on their platform, because I do like the whole, like, I loved where we were going last week on last week's show talking about this, where maybe instead of just straight up like points trophies, like it's a sticker book. And I think we had used Pokemon Home. Was it Home? One of the Pokemon things is an example of, like, you put stickers and you use the stickers that you get from different collecting achievements to build your profile picture. And it's really cute, you know, type of thing. I think that would be like a cute thing for Nintendo to implement. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just, you know, some guy with a podcast. So anyway, as part of this podcast, every week we like to take a trip down memory lane in our next segment. So let's get to it.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Sakura, what did you pick for us tonight for the classic game?
I have picked Wonder Project J, which is a game that's been on my list for me to play. I mean, I own a real copy. Well, we can see what happens. But basically, Wonder Project J is a game that came out in 1994 for Super Famicom, and it's a life simulation game. It was developed by Almanic, which is Almanic Corp, and published by Enix for Super Famicom. You play of a boy, Gijin, a robot, created by Dr. Geppetto, and his name is Pino. Get it? It's in Pinocchio. It was directed by Yoneda Takashi, and it was made by most of the same people who worked before on Evo Search for Eden. And it was a pretty positively received game and one of the best-selling Super Famicom games. It even spawned a sequel, Wonder Project J2, that came out in 1996 on N64. So you play as this boy named Pino, who has a lot of animation to make him seem more human to the player. And he has a fairy sidekick named Tinker, who acts like a point, and he's like the cursor in a point-and-click game, she is. And you have to educate Pino to make him more human. You can scold him when he does something wrong and praise him when he does something right, kind of virtual pet-like. You collect different items through the game. Some are used to train different parts of his character, like strength and kindness, and some are used to adjust his parameters, like giving him pudding will increase his trust, but batteries increase his health. And others are teaching him behaviors like sowing seeds, fighting with a sword, things like that. And he needs to succeed in various challenges and different confrontations to activate a virtue circuit that finally lets him activate Circuit J. The tasks are all based on different parameters of his character. You know, if he's strong enough, is he lucky enough? And the final circuit will help him foster his relations between humans and other Gijin. He has two health bars. One is physical and the other is mental health. Physical tasks will, you know, or getting hurt will reduce physical health. Reading a book or getting your feelings hurt reduces your mental health, and some might do both. So you have to help him restore both types of health by, you can spend money, let the day pass, giving him different tasks that increase those things. So the game was an idea about communicating with a character in point and click interface and wanting to have what he was calling, he said it was a thoughtful and deep work, Yoneda-san did, and really was wanting just to do something different. The game was never published outside of Japan. There is a fan translation. In 1995, Famitsu's reader cross review gave the game a 7 out of 10. It sold 1.3 million units in Japan. Hardcore Gamer said that it was a very positive game. And in 2011, 1UP.com's Bob Mackey said it was one of the 6 must-play Super Nintendo imports. So there was that sequel, Wonder Project J2, which was developed by Givro Corp, which was previously Omnic, and released by Enix for N64. And it was one of the last projects that Givro did before their company dissolved in 1998. It was re-released by Squenix as a 2-part download for mobile phones in Japan in 2010. And that is it. Wonder Project J.
All right. Admittedly, a game I didn't know a lot about. So that's, one I clearly missed in this era. But some folks in chat recognizing this game and giving it a shout out. So great trip down memory lane.
We have not done all the Enix games. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, yes. There's got to be a ton still left, that's for sure. All right.
Yeah, I've done a few, but certainly not all.
All right. Well, not that one. Sorry, I was running the wrong thing there for a minute, but let's get back into the show and some more gaming news in a segment that we call Rapid Fire News. Some other quick headlines from the night. Loki.
Bethesda, you know, the company that's piecemealing everything when it comes to Elder Scrolls, now is allowing you for the 10-year anniversary of Elder Scrolls Online to own some of its RAM from its server it doesn't need anymore.
Ooh.
So you can pay $110 to you can pre-order it, and they're having 2,000 sticks of RAM that are going to be included in this anniversary gold-plated plaque thing that you can have. Sounds like to me a way that they could just upgrade the RAM without having to actually pay for it.
But
they did that with World of Warcraft, though, didn't they?
They sure did. At some point, they did. Yeah,
I don't know.
One of the original Warcraft games, they were selling like RAM sets.
But if it's something that you're interested, you better get on it now because there's only 2,000 and they're going to be delivering those in July. Yeah. Anyways.
Wait, quickly. Tiger Claw in chat says, hopefully it's RAM that's compatible if you need more RAM in your PC. I don't think it's that kind.
It is not server RAM.
It's server RAM, which is going to be different. And yeah, it's
probably old.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it would help your computer that much. So unless you're going to. If you want to start your own bootleg server, maybe, but I really think this is just some. I remember when they sold those Warcraft servers that Darksaga was talking about. It was like the classic WoW servers. Like
I watched someone buy one of those.
They went for thousands of dollars.
California Extreme.
Yeah. Wow. So, but they're. I think people just own them too as a collectible. And obviously they don't serve any. They've been replaced as far as the game's concerned. So it's really just, I think, especially for people who had characters on that server, it's like, this is my character where they lived for years. It's that type of thing. Yeah. But for Elder Scrolls. Anyway, sorry, Loki.
For Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection, they just revealed a brand new patch that adds a few things, including offline versus for all games, as well as a few other options. So some of the things added in there, X-Men versus Street Fighter gets a version select, so you can actually pick which version of the game you want to play. There's different resolution options for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, as well as menu button settings allows you to open those with a long press to avoid accidental inputs. They also have new artwork that's available to view that, and bonus tracks with remixes of classic songs by Cap Jams from the Capcom sound team. So they have a theme from Captain America, theme of Cyclops, theme of Jim, and theme of Captain Commando that are remixed. I kind of want to listen to that. So yeah, that's awesome and free if you have the game.
Nice. All right, Darksakura.
So, a couple of things, actually, both pinball related, is that Barrels of Fun officially revealed their second pinball table, Dune. They have the license for Dune. They are going to sell 300 of the 1,000 limited directly to the public. The rest is going through distributors. But yeah, very, very limited release of this. They all have a $2,000 deposit. They're going to be $11,600. And then as far as the other pinball release, Stern is doing King Kong. And looks like they are doing pro premium and 932 limited edition models with the lowest starting at $6,999.
Again. Pinball is not a cheap hobby to get into.
Fuck no, it's not.
Even if you start with old tables, they're still going to set you back quite a bit. So, all right.
That is true.
Well, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of things you can get that are going to be a little cheaper than pinball. We'll start with the U.S. and Loki.
All right. So we've got Post Trauma on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Beholder Conductor on PC and Mac. Sunder Folk on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Amerizone, The Explorer's Legacy on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Azura, The Striker on PC. Bokura, Planet on PC and Mac. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Looking forward to that one. Doll's Nest on PC. Dreamy Syrup on PC and Nintendo Switch. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves. It's Dreamy Syrup. Okay. It's a visual novel by Rabbit Foot.
Put that on your pancakes. All right.
Mm-hmm. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series.
That game lost me with the fucking additional characters they were adding. Like, really? Like, what the fuck happened to that series?
What did they add?
I'm pretty excited about it.
Cristiano Ronaldo is one of them. Soccer player that's had numerous allegations and things. And then I think there's like some more, which is funny because the game is supposed to be set 20 years ago. And there's some more modern DJ guy that's in it as well. So it's just,
Okay. Let's see. The 100 Line Last Defense Academy that's on PC and Nintendo Switch. Long Live Ninjagasi, or I'm going to try to pronounce this. There's too many consonants together. Ninjagasaki High School Idol Club. And we did it. Tokimeki Roadmap to the Future. Stop making your title so damn long. QNX. That's going to be on PC and Nintendo Switch. Actually, it's probably Honey X. Nano Apostle on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Phantom Brave, The Lost Hero on PC. Super Technos World, River City, and Technos Arcade Classics on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 5. Tempest Rising on PC, and we've got one more day of releases. Oni, The Horror of Blueberry Onsen on Nintendo Switch. Days Gone Remastered on PlayStation 5. Enlock Chimera on PC. And that is it.
All right, let's go to Japan right now. Get in the car. We're going to check out the release dates that are coming up in Japan. So this week on April the 24th, we have the 100 Line Last Defense Academy is coming out in Japan on the Switch. Also on the Switch, we have Utoware Rumo Ono, Prelude to the Fallen, Mask of Deception, and Mask of Truth. That's right. Those are three separate games that are all coming out in Japan this week on the Switch. We also have Love Live, Nijigasaki High School Idol Club, Tokimeki Roadmap to the Future is also out on the 24th of April. This is all again on the Switch. A game called Meg's Monster, also releasing on the 24th. Gal Guardians, Servants of the Dark in a regular and limited edition. Yasha, Legends of the Demon Blade, also out this week. And Carmen Sandiego's 40th Anniversary Edition. I guess that's coming out as well. Trigger Heart Excelia Enhanced, also out on the Switch. There's a lot on the Switch this week. Super Technos World, River City, and Technos Arcade Classics. Heck yeah, that'll be fun. That's also out in Japan. Snow Brothers 2 Special, also out this week, as well as Moving Out and Ever After Falls. Ooh, busy, busy week in Japan on the Switch. I didn't even get to the PlayStation 5 yet, but I assume we're going to see similar games. Of course, Fatal Fury City of the Wolves is also out in Japan, as well as that Yasha Legends of the Demon Blade. Again, those are on the PlayStation 5, along with Gal Guardians, Servants of the Dark, and the Kemco RPG Selection. Oh, this is back. Volume 13. 13 is out this week. My goodness. Chrome Wolf, Grace of Latole, Ancient Phantasma, and Dead Dragons are the games in that collection, if you're keeping track. That Super Technos World collection also releases on the PlayStation 5 this week, and that'll be fun. That's it for the Japanese releases. Let's go to the UK, Dark Sakura.
We have on the 21st, Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, PC, PS4, PS5, Xboxes. On the 22nd, for PC and Switch, we have Maliki, Poison of the Past. On PC, we have Escape the Mad Empire. For PC, we have War Rats, the Rat-em-up. On the 22nd, also for PS5, Xboxes, PC, Steel Seed. On the 23rd, for all of those and the Switch, we have Sunderfolk. We have on the PC, Elements Divided, Old Skies, PC and Switch, Beholder Conductor for PC, Rail Gods of Hystera on PC. On the 24th, we have Clair Obscur Expedition 33, PC, PS5, Xboxes. 24th, also iOS, Android, Delta Force. On the 24th for PC, we have Bokura Planet. I looked that up. That's by Kodansha, so that's interesting. We also have Monster Prom 4, Monster Con on PC. We have Amazone, The Explorer's Legacy, PS5, Xboxes, PC. Sunseed Island, PlayStation, Switch, Xbox. We have Yasha, Legends of the Demon Blade, PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, PC, Tempest Rising for PC, The 100 Line Last Defense Academy, Switch and PC, Super Technos World, River City, and Arcades Classic, PS5, Switch, PC, and on the 25th, Days Gone Remastered, PS5, PC, and a digital version for PS4.
All right. Busy week around the world for releases. I guess there was something to that whole, it feels like a very busy week in games. And we might have an Elder Scrolls Stealth drop that'll probably be worldwide. So, you know, just busy, busy week. Have fun, whatever it is you're going to be gaming with this week. Believe it or not, that takes us to the closing segment of our show where we get to the listener roundtable, where we take your questions. If you have anything in chat, we can also take a quick phone call over at vognetwork.com/discord if you want to join our green room. If any questions are in chat, we also open up our mailbag every week. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com, but I'm guessing it's nothing but spam. Yeah, right. I was laughing because earlier during the show, you might have caught me, those of you that are watching live on Twitch, might have caught me looking at my phone and giggling. And that's because Jamie was texting me with a screenshot of her me that she made in Pikmin Bloom. Just there it is. There's Dark Sakura and Pikmin
you
Bloom
call me out like that.
With her first two Pikmin. That's right. I'm putting you on blast.
How long did I resist,
I love it.
Though?
I love it.
Think about it.
No, it's funny. It's funny
just,
to me.
I figured it's worth checking
my
out
power,
and
maybe.
Look at it.
It's free, right? Like, whatever. Yeah. They're only farming your location data to be able to sell to third parties. That's all. It's not a big deal.
Until you opt out of it.
Yeah. But welcome to that. I'll be curious how long you stick with it. I do think it's... Again, what I like about Pikmin versus the other games like Pokemon and Ingress and whatever is that it's less active. You just turn it on when you walk, turn it off when you stop, and then you can catch up on mushrooms and the other. You haven't gotten there yet, Jamie, but as you get to level 5 and level 10, you unlock a couple other mechanisms in the game, and you can kind of like do those before you go to bed or just like as your phone nags you during the day or something. This is very... You know,
if you have to have it open, like I can't run like an app on my watch.
No. It has Adventure Sync, which they had in Pokemon Go and all the other stuff. Where it runs in the background. Just runs in the background. So
that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Uninstall.
What's that?
I said uninstalling right now.
What? Why?
I'm joking.
And I was like, it doesn't. I run it in the background all the time. It works fine. You can see a little path of flowers. That would be my advice. If you're going to start playing Pikmin Bloom, set a privacy zone around your house. That's one of the things you can do is set a privacy zone. And what you do is you set it on your house and then you will never plant flowers there. But that goes both ways because that means you never get credit for planting flowers there, which, you know, is something you want to do in the game is plant flowers. But it will also stop you from like tracing a line directly to your house by setting a privacy zone. So just a tip for everybody.
Wait, can other people see my lines?
Yes, they can. You can see their lines. So if you set a privacy zone, you won't be able to see lines. You won't be able to see lines around your house. You'll see ones that other people did, but you will not leave trails going past your house. So looking at chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Tiger Claw says, I don't think you guys mentioned this, but there's been some announcements at Star Wars Celebration Japan. You're right. We didn't talk about this, but let me run over what Tiger Claw says. New Star Wars content during the month of May for Fortnite, and a new Star Wars game got announced for Star Wars Zero Company is what it's called, which is basically Star Wars XCOM. Yeah, I was seeing that stuff because Fortnite has the Darth Jar Jar in it. I saw you guys talking about that on Discord, and I thought that was really interesting. I was like, okay, they're really trying to make Jar Jar cool now, aren't they?
Well, they have.
They're trying to erase
in the
memory
new,
of 20 years ago.
He's in the new Lego Star Wars movie that's coming out on Disney Plus or series. I think it's a series.
It's too much.
The world's like, or like the Star Wars world's like twisted on its edge. So you have like a lot of these flip flop characters and Darth Jar Jar is in that as well.
Yep. So yeah, that's going to be interesting with that Fortnite collaboration and it's going to. I mean, I feel like, is it really going to bring more eyes to Fortnite? Already Fortnite is super fucking popular. Like, it's just going to be more skins that people are going to buy in Fortnite. So, yeah. SJ100 Matt dropped this in chat, linking us to a story about the ongoing lawsuit between PAL World and Nintendo. And Pocket Pair, the developers behind PAL World, have actually kind of started putting out their defense out there. They're actually citing other video games that use similar mechanics, but were not challenged, basically. So it's a series of what they call preparatory briefs, and they were filed in February. And Pocket Pair in these briefs are saying that Nintendo's patents in suit should not have been granted because other work has already used them in the past. For example, there's one patent that Nintendo got that is about capturing characters by releasing monsters or capture balls. But Craftopia Pocket Pair argues did the same thing. And then let's see, also Rune Factory 5, Titanfall 2, Pikmin 3 Deluxe. They say they all allow players to release a monster or a capture item and fire in a direction by releasing a button. So they're basically saying Nintendo should have never been granted these patents in the first place, which is, I mean, yeah, I actually kind of agree that like this is,
I do agree with that.
This is not the place to be fighting this. I still don't understand why the fight from Nintendo is not about the actual design of the trademarked Pokemon, but I'm not Nintendo and I'm also no legal expert and perhaps do not understand why they feel they would not win that case or whatever it is. So it's very interesting. Yeah. Well, Jay Helinski in chat says, funny how they never held these patents until another game existed that infringed on them.
Yeah, that's also weird, too. Yeah, right? Like, that you can patent something after the fact and be like, oh, now we're suing you. It's like
that it wasn't a problem until. And again, I think the real problem is that the Pokemon or this, the legally distinct Pokemon in the game are not legally distinct enough. Is really the problem. I just don't understand why that's not the lawsuit. But again, I'm not a legal expert. So,
but if you don't sue for that, then you kind of that's the argument that you're making. So it's not a good one.
So I wonder. So they're basically going to try. It sounds to me and get these patents disqualified, thrown out. Because isn't that what happened? Like, didn't somebody try to fucking patent podcasting? And yes. It was way after the fact. And, you know, obviously all the big name podcasters at the time were coming out swinging against this. And basically their patent got shredded that it should never have been granted in the first place. So, interesting.
And I think, I don't know, I don't remember that one particularly, but like
it was
something
a while ago.
To the effect of like where...
Let me put it in perspective.
We're doing it to protect it, like, because so no one else does it.
The big name podcaster they started going after at the time was Adam Carolla. But whatever happened? Whatever happened to that guy? I remember Love Lines and the show they ended up with on MTV and all. And I know he started a morning show or something. I think he's more on the conservative end of things now, which is really interesting when you look at where Jimmy Kimmel's ended up. It's kind of, you know.
I think that's why they split too.
Probably. So interesting. Anyway, but Jimmy Kimmel also used to do that show with Ben Stein, who's also a lot of people don't realize Ben Stein's also a pretty notorious.
Win Ben Stein's money. Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah. And that was Jimmy Kimmel was on that show too. So
if I could go on, we're going to go on a tangent anyways.
Why not? That part of the show. Do it.
Yeah. There was a thing that I got introduced to this week. It was by another fellow content creator by the name of Pixel Riffs, who introduced me to this new it's relatively new show called Kaso. And Kaso is a Japanese skateboarding TV show in the vein of like Ninja Warrior, but it's with skateboarding, and it's fucking amazing, and you need to watch it. It's on YouTube. They have full episodes on YouTube. It is a great watch, honestly. Like, and they only have 6 episodes so far, but it's excellent. It's highly excellent. It just well put together. I love it.
Okay,
so Kaso, Kasso, go check it out.
Interesting. Well, before we wrap it up for tonight, Loki, any last minute stories to share with us tonight?
I looked. I could not find any.
All right. Yeah, I feel like
I saw Kotaku. That's about it. That's all I saw.
What was that with
possible layoffs at Kotaku
again? Who's left over there?
Well, actually,
they don't even like on. You
this,
go to their
this
site.
This is an old article. This is an old article. So,
Well, I mean, few that it's not new, but also like there's been definitely a change in strategical direction over there, because when you go to the launch page, it's not gaming news. It's not 100% gaming news.
No, it's guides. And that's the same with this Destructoid as well, as another website we looked at for quite a bit. And yeah, it's guides and it's cluttered. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's awful. Mm-mm-mm.
I guess as more people get their news from social media, I mean, show of hands, I bet I would be curious about Jay Helinski says pretty soon VOG Network is going to be the only game in town. Well, thank you for that faith. But we're not here to report the news. We're here to comment on the news. And I think there's a big difference between that. So, you know, that's one thing you can sort of never replace. But we are also under no illusion that we're profiting off of this. You guys have been generous enough with the biddies and the subs that we can afford to keep this running. Like, we're not paying out of our own pocket to do this. Then that's really cool, because there was a period of time when we were on Shoutcast and all that, we were paying out of pocket to do that. And that's fine. You know, people pay for hobbies that they enjoy. But Twitch has allowed us to monetize it enough so that we can actually we have all the legal types of protections and that sort of thing, that we need to keep us legitimate and all that. So, it's nice that we're not like paying out of pocket to do any of that. And once in a while we get to sponsor a nice thing. Like, I'm hoping we get to sponsor a nice little, gaming conference coming up in like 2 months. So we'll hopefully have more news on that in the coming weeks. But you can all probably guess what it is. Because it's in Bobby's neck of the woods. That should be the biggest hint you need. Let's see. I forgot where I was going with that, but sure.
You were saying words.
I know, something about commentating versus news and all that. But the guides and all that stuff. I was going to say, with social media, how many of you are getting your updates from, let's say, Kotaku? But I'm using that to, I'm not picking on them. I'm using that to symbolize a lot of gaming websites. Versus Wario64 at this point, and other those social media people that kind of keep it down to, you know, 300 characters. What's the blue sky limit? 300 characters? The people that take 300 characters or less.
Yeah, it's basically mainly those, because I find like sites like Kotaku and stuff like that, you'll get an article that's a summary of a social media post or a summary of a YouTube video that's been
put
up.
And there's so much garbage around it with the ads and the videos and the autoplays, yeah, and the punchline is at the end, and all that, social media is really the
comments on the articles as well, because that was something at least you could see some pushback on things. You would see like corrections on there about certain things, or like people sharing their opinions and stuff. And now there isn't that on there in anyways, but yeah, I get a lot of my news, especially when it comes to gaming stuff, from social media, because that's where it leaks first.
You have to have the humility to be willing to be corrected when it's right. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can't correct an opinion, but there are, you know, that's why I enjoy doing this live. Sometimes you guys correct us in chat, and when it's fact-based with evidence, such as the Diablo conversation earlier. I think somebody said, oh, it's Diablo 3 that's on Switch 2 via Switch 1, but we actually don't technically have an announcement of Diablo 4 yet. We just all assume it's coming. Those types of fact checks are things that happen live, right? So, you know, it keeps us humble. It's fine. We don't know everything, but we're here to talk about it and have fun with it and be, you know, chatty at the dinner table after a round of gaming, playing DDR at the arcade for an hour. Thank you. Pod Culture says, I get most of my news here on Sundays. Well, I do appreciate that. And I realize there are, you know, people that maybe don't follow all that social media stuff. They don't need to inject gaming news into their veins every single day. So they kind of get like their little piece of news and the important stuff. Like, what are the key things I need to know that might get that from podcasts like us and other shows or YouTube channels, to be fair, and other things. And so thank you. I, you know, appreciate that. And I'm sure all the podcasters out there that do a shtick similar to us, appreciate that as well. Yeah, Dark Tessia says there's a few Nintendo blogs on Blue Sky that I follow, mostly Nintendo stuff. Sure. And Tiger Claw echoes the gaming sites on social media. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So interesting. Yeah. SJ100 Matt says, turns out you can't profit off of making terrible headlines and rage bait stories. Oh my God. What was the article I saw? It had nothing to do with gaming, but like, I literally like screamed at how bad this headline was. Hold on. I want to see if I can find it.
My favorite, is some of these sites that do have all these guides and things. And when you go to the next page, it jumps 4 weeks in the past and there's no way to see anything that's fallen off of that first page. That's another fun one.
Okay, here we go. You're right. This has nothing to do with gaming, I'm going to admit. But tell me you don't see this same shit in the gaming sphere. Okay, this one hit my Google News feed. Here's the headline. You ready? It's a headline from People magazine that says, Bowen Yang says, you know, the actor, right, from Saturday Night Live. Bowen Yang says he will leave Saturday Night Live at some point. Exclusive.
At some point.
Exclusive.
No, I mean, shit.
Oh my God. True.
No shit.
Sometime in the future.
Are you fucking shitting me? Somebody who has a finite amount of time on this earth may leave a television program, no matter how long that program's been running, at some point. Sure. Are you shitting me? Anyway,
that's can you imagine like being a person working at a publication and bringing that to your editor and saying, here, I made a thing, and your editor looks at that and goes, yep, let's print it. Like, I mean, like, can you imagine, like, it's like, well, what is this conveying? Well, that they may leave at some point.
But then you look,
right? But that's anybody, right?
You look know? At some similar headlines, right? Like some similar headlines. Vanity Fair: Bowen Yang is thinking about life after Saturday Night Live. Okay, that's a fair assessment, right? Deadline: Bowen Yang talks planning for life after SNL. Sure, that works as well. But I'm sorry, what slays me about this is he will leave Saturday Night Live at some point. Exclusive.
Fucking people.
What a fucking joke. That's right. Okay, everybody, OLR exclusive. I've got the OLR exclusive for you. The PlayStation 6 will release at some point.
At some point. Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Here's your exclusive. I will go to bed.
When you want.
In the future, it's an exclusive.
Exclusive OLR headline.
Be sleeping at some point.
Exclusive OLR headline. I deserve a sweet treat. Thank you. Anyway, all right. Jay Helensky says
exclusive
space
my
news.
My cat will throw up at some point.
Space news has a huge habit of these kind of news stories as well. Well, look. Look what took up all the fucking air in the room in space news this week. And it had to do with a certain singer and a certain talk show host's best friend going up into space for 11 minutes.
And now they're astronauts.
And now they're astronauts.
Guys did all that training. I mean, all I did was just buy a ticket and I went. Like, it can't be that hard.
Did you, by the way, the shade that was going around with that. So you know that there was like Pop Crave or one of those things. Rin Mari says Space Lounge Radio. Fucking, I fucking love space. It's actually like a nerdy.
I get all my
I news love space. From, this is why I love Mass Effect, No Man's Sky.
I get all my news from the gas station, the pump TV so that they have on there.
Pop Crave. Put this post up about Katy Perry went to space, you know, type of thing. And Wendy's, the brand, the burger chain, replied, can we send her back? To which, by the way, within 3 hours, Kesha, the singer, posted herself with a Wendy's cup in her hand, like drinking out of a Wendy's cup with a very knowing glare. And if you know all the story about who Katy Perry is making music with recently on that album that didn't do so hot, to the extent that her tour that she announced, she assured fans she would be playing the classics mostly and not necessarily stuff from her new album, who she worked with and who Kesha once upon a time worked with, and things got very, very, very ugly. You know why that is some A-plus class master shade for Kesha be drinking about a Wendy's cup. But apparently the whole thing hurt Katy Perry's feelings.
Oh no. I feel so bad.
And Wendy's, yeah, Tiger Claw says they got a ton of backlash over it, but didn't apologize. Yeah, Wendy said, well, we get spicy on Twitter sometimes, just like our chicken nuggets, which are available for $4.99. I'm just kidding. They didn't say that last half, but an intern drafted it. You know somebody drafted. Actually, we should stop saying social media interns, because there's people that make a lot of money on social media. And at Wendy's, you know somebody's getting paid over there for this shit. Like all that free advertising for Wendy's that Kesha just did. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Bobby says, I didn't realize Wendy's was still a spicy social media brand because all the smart people got off Twitter. So we have to get all this news stuff secondhand because a lot of the brands, trademark, are still on Twitter. But if rumor is to be believed on some code sourcing that was done on GitHub, Blue Sky is about to roll out their version of verified accounts. And no, you don't pay for it. It's a different mechanism. Next week, supposedly, based on things that are seen in the code, you know, again, take that with a huge grain of salt. I would like to know when Blue Sky is rolling out pictures in the DMs and private accounts. I realize that takes time because it is all built on the backbone of the app protocol. But, you know, time's a ticking. Time's a ticking. So,
well, I mean, after all, they're getting rid of DMs in X because it's going to be X chat now. It's not pornographic, we promise, but, like, you know, it certainly sounds like it is. Yeah, so that's a thing.
I'm so glad I fucking left that site. I'm not deleting my account because I don't want anyone to, you know.
No, I didn't either. And believe me, I hate that website more than anybody else, but I don't want anyone taking my account. And I have business cards in circulation that have it, but I just have a big message that says, she gone, girl. And it has a link to my new, you know, my new socials and all that stuff. But I took the app off my phone like 2 years ago at this point. And just, yeah, it's just, it is what it is. But I do want to get, there's some really good comment in the chat here. Jay Helensky says, would love pictures in the DMs. Yeah. Now that National Send a Nude Day has passed, maybe Blue Sky will consider adding it because that's the day that would have broke Blue Sky. But, you know.
I want it to be an opt-in thing, just saying, because I don't want nasty pictures sent to me.
DM, I believe it is. DMs in general are a opt-in thing. You can turn it off. I think right now you can have it be set to private.
No, I want to keep my DMs. I want to be able to opt in whether or not someone can send me a fucking picture.
Well, we'll see when they actually roll it out. But they have been pretty good about, like, actually opt in because, again, a billionaire doesn't own Blue Sky right now. There's no shareholder involvement in Blue Sky right now. So, you know, a world without Caesars, all of that. Let's see. Y'all had some other good comments. Where was the part about? Here it is. Bobby Blackwolf talking about the brands on Blue Sky saying, well, the brands got bullied off of Blue Sky by Adobe. Oh, yeah. That was Adobe made some bleat. And everybody just dogpiled on him about, you know, subscription fees and AI and the forced opt-in and all that stuff. It's just every grievance people had with Adobe came out. So, yeah, very, very interesting. So,
well, maybe don't be shitty and people won't treat you that way.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see. Yeah, it was, pretty ugly. Anyway, that's it. We've had enough off-topic chatter. Let's wrap things up for the night. Thank you, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about our show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. So tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a site like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you found this show. All of that goes an awful long way, and we really appreciate it. That all being said, Dark Sakura, I think you said you're doing some streaming tonight, so we'll let you go. Any last thoughts on your way out?
Oh, Lord, I'm in for it.
All right.
I'm in for it. And, I hurt, too, so we'll see how long this goes.
All right, we'll feel better.
Bye!
Bye! All right, Loki, that takes us over to you and your final thought for tonight.
My final thought is now I'm only a week away from jury duty.
Oh,
I'm not happy about that.
You poor soul. Hopefully it's a quick 2-day trial. We'll see.
Hopefully.
All right. And then my final thought for tonight is I'm going to see Kylie Minogue on Tuesday in San Francisco. And I'm so excited because I love her. And yes, I know she's playing all the DDR bops, but lots of good stuff from her catalog. I've actually never seen her live. After all these chances I've had and I've just missed because sometimes I'm a bump on a log. So this time I said, I'm not going to miss it. So, I can't wait for that. So, I just can't get that out of my head. La, 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 la. All right. On that note, we'll see you in 7 days. Good luck with the Switch pre-order Hunger Games. May the odds ever be in your favor on those Switch 2s. Good luck, everybody. We'll see how it went for everybody next week. Until then, have a good night. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.